FMX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis. Say that dedication, your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Let's talk Seattle. Talk about the great race that it was, man. Cooper Webb, Chase Sexton, Jet Lawrence. Fantastic race. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing. 25 years of Fly. And whether it's a Formula helmet, the Formula S helmet, gear head to toe, they've got you covered. Please check it out, Fly Racing. RJ Hampshire making the podium with Fly Racing gear out there. And get it at your local dealer. Get it at motorsport.com. They've been in the sport for a long time, making top quality stuff, and they got it all, man. They got the goggles, they got helmets, they got boots, they got gear, they got the kinetic mesh stuff coming out soon as well because it's getting hotter. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Thank you to the folks at Renthal as well. You look at Chase Sexton with Renthals, Jet Lawrence with Renthals, Levi Kitchen, Renthal. Renthal.com, made over there in the UK to the best tolerances around. They got a dealer inventory locator, dealer inventory chart on their website. They have a bar bend chart as well. Renthal.com, chains, sprockets, bars. They've got you covered, man. And a lot of factory teams using Renthal, a lot of top riders in the sport. How many? More championships than all the other brands combined. Renthal.com, thank you. Maxxis Tires as well. You look at PRMX, you look at the Mad Parts Kawasaki team, doing big things with the folks at Maxxis Tires, putting in the main events. They got soft intermediate to hard terrain tires as well. And Maxxis.com for more information. Great mountain bike tires, light truck tires, trailer tires. They support the sport in a number of ways, and a lot of moto media guys as well. So yeah, and UTV tires. I mean, you got a UTV. If you listen to this, then you know how good Maxxis is. Thank you to the folks at Maxxis and motorsport.com as well. OEM and aftermarket parts. Go through the banner on pulpmex.com to help us out. They have great prices. They have a great return policy. Free shipping on everything over $79. They do the motorsport.com FFL on Pulp Fantasy and the Real Hole Shot Award as well for the Motocross Nationals. It's just re-upped again for the Motocross Nationals. So thank you to the folks at Motorsport, man. The best online retailer out there. Great prices and really fast shipping and all of that. I use them all the time for my project bikes that I'm doing. So thanks to the folks at Motorsport. And we'll tell you more about Onyx Maps later on. Weege, JT, and I talking some Seattle. Great race. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Here we go. All right, everybody, let's get started here on the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. Let's talk Seattle a little bit, shall we? A great race, and always good there in the Emerald City. On the line, the man called the action from the booth last night. Didn't find time to visit the press box at all. Not only once, not any time at all. It's Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, I actually did go to the press box several times because I literally had to walk through the press box to get to the broadcast boxes next door. And I don't know, there wasn't any press in there when I cruised through. So maybe you guys don't even work anymore, or do you even go to the races? Because it was ghost town.
Sad.
It's Ghostbusters.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, well, that's appropriate. Also on the line, Fly Racing, 25 years of Fly. Please check them out at your local dealer or motorsport.com. And of course, when it comes to Fly, you have Dean Wilson. You got RJ Hampshire on the podium. You got Max Ansi, red plate holder earlier this year, Chance Hymus, and more. Jason Thomas, what's up, JT?
Not too much. Sorry to hear you guys didn't connect. I saw this same argument play out on the Weed Show last night. So sad to see there's been no reconciliation to terms over this yet.
It's people change with fame and money, and you know.
Are you speaking firsthand?
No, not at all. Because I'm the same guy as always. But I've seen it in the industry many times. There's you meet the same people on the way down, Weege, that you met on the way up. So
there was true anger there. I feel like this is a Israel-Palestine style moment. This could go on for literally the next 50 or 100 years. I don't know what the solution is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This could be a two-state solution, maybe not. But I sensed real anger.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is going to be fixed easily.
It was a great topic amongst Kellen, myself, Lewis.
Throughout the day.
Throughout the day. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I had to walk through there 3 times, and there was no one there at those times.
Let's get to the important stuff right away. Where was your pocket square that you spoke about on the Fly Racing Moto 60 show?
Yes, well, 2 streaks were broken in Seattle. 1, Jet Lawrence's win streak, and 2, my win streak with the pocket square. So we didn't have our usual stage manager who carries pocket squares, but I did have, of course, my guy RC, who also carries extras. And he's like, dude, I don't think any of the ones I have color match well with the jacket. And I'm like, I don't care. We got a streak on the line. And he's like, no, man, these don't work with what you have. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, Jet Lawrence does not win. And thank you for referencing Weed Show, JT. But Jet and I talked about this, and he was bummed that he believes this might have been responsible for the end of his streak.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I was like, I didn't wear a pocket square. You didn't win. So 2 streaks came to an end. And he's like, well, man, come on, man.
Yeah.
Can you let me know you got a pocket square the next time? Can we make this happen?
Yeah.
I have to give you credit, Weej. Like, getting stuff where Jet's on the massage table and stuff like that, that's really cool. Like, even for me, and I'm very privileged in this front, that's really cool. I think it's awesome. Like, you don't get that stuff, you know, anywhere else. Like, or maybe you do. I don't see it anyway, but that's way behind the scenes.
I don't think in this sport much, but I think in other sports, not at all. This sport still has that accessibility. Because look, you saw it. There were rando fans hanging on too, and he was signing autographs. And there's still this very thin line.
Most people can't get into the pits after the race. They can't see any of that. I mean, you're talking like 0.01% of people could see something like that. But you're giving the people what they want, man. I'm here for it.
Yeah, we had Jet Lawrence on the massage table talking about pocket squares. And Steve, I mean, Jet came on pole. He did a bunch of press day stuff. He was signing autographs, like I said, with the fans well into the night. So, I don't know. I think he's taking us all in stride lately.
No, life's pretty good for him right now. I mean, he got third.
Yes.
So, you know, that wasn't great. But, we'll talk about that in a second here. Hey, I got a couple of key burning questions off the top. Let's do this program every week. Love it. We had rain, so they canceled this first set of practices. We went into 2 qualifying practices. Then we did a 4:30 start, done by 8. Bingo. Love it. Let's do it all the time. It's great.
I have no argument for that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. We don't need 3 practice sessions. We're already seeing the track break down so much. So let's get what set of 1 practice is that everybody, these guys are really good. They can jump everything right away. So let's get rid of that. And then, done by 8, you know, let's do it.
I do think that did potentially contribute to me not seeing you guys in the press box. Cause there was, the day was probably 2 hours shorter.
Yeah. Probably.
Than it was supposed to be. So it did, the day felt short. Like it was over. I was like, dude, we're already here. Like, we're already racing.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was awesome to be back at, to be done by 8 and back at the room by 10, yes. Let's say. And
yes, that was good.
Yeah. Like,
I didn't feel like somebody had hit me with a dump truck this morning when I woke up. It was awesome.
Yeah. Who do I got to talk to about that?
Well, I don't know about the getting rid of the free practice, but I think these West Coast races moving 3 hours early or 2 hours early is here to stay. Have you guys heard any real negative to that?
It's not dark during opening ceremonies, and you don't get whining in the dining. That's it. That's all I have. I have nothing else to offer as far as negativity for that.
But that's you. Are you hearing a chorus of that? I feel like it's gone over pretty smoothly.
I heard it a little bit here and there as far as just like the, you know, you don't get the same atmosphere with fireworks and the fireball because it doesn't have the black backdrop. It's not a, you know, deafening roar of people complaining. But if you've been to a bunch of races, it's a little different, but that's literally it. Like I have nothing else, even neutral, you know, everything else I have to say about it is a positive.
Thoughts on the fireworks, Steve?
Yeah, I think you know my thoughts on the fireworks.
But you got your jaded, though. I'm talking people who get to go once a year, see the show, get the whole experience. Like, it's... Yeah,
They still see the show. They just
it's different though. Why do you think they sell fireworks at night, Steve? Like, yeah. 4th of July. Why do you think they do? I know you hate 4th of July. I got it.
No. I don't hate 4th of July. I don't hate 4th of July. I just
You do.
I think
you complain every year about dogs. Every year.
Well, there is that. I understand the fireworks. I get it. I just, the problem is this is just like the burnouts. Nobody listens to me. Nobody actually listens.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you?
I don't mind the burnout, but let's stop it after, you know, 5 minutes, and then it's fireworks. I don't mind fireworks, but let's stop it after 30 minutes. That's it. You know, it's too much. And
but I'm saying the darkness is they don't set off fireworks at noon for a reason. It's because of the contrast and the backdrop and the visual effect of it, right? That's all I'm saying.
Everybody's seen fireworks already. We're fine.
Right, but this is people like taking their kids to races. There's a lot of kids that have never been to a race before. Like,
well,
that is a definite experience. And if you don't think people are going to the races for the first time, ask around. Like, I hear about it all the time. Like, this is a big deal for kids.
Yeah, you know,
it really is a big deal.
You know what also used to be cool was the parade lap when guys used to do tricks and do all that. We don't even have that, or we have 250 riders coming out. I mean, things change.
Okay,
things change.
I understand, but are you not saying that it's any different at all? Like, I'm trying to compromise with you here. I'll take it. I'll take it.
Yeah.
If it's between the two, I will take the earlier schedule between the two. I'm just offering the only thing you could ever say about a lesser experience is that.
Okay,
and maybe it's not for us. But it is for some people.
In your eyes, you have a 90% positive and 10% negative. In my eyes, it's all positive. So, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah,
just somebody shoot me in the face, please.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I just think it's all positive. It's great. We don't need that third practice session. I've been on that for a while. We got track problems, and let's get rid of that thing. And there's no fans there. Like, I get it. They're selling qualifying, and that's fine. You know, you're going in early. But they're not in early enough to watch the first session anyway. So that
no, I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, they're not losing.
I'm not talking about that, any of that stuff.
Right. So we need to drop one practice session, and move everything up. Bingo, bango. There we go. At least just drop the first practice session anyways, even for a regular program, and we're there, you know, 2 hours like we said. We're 2 hours.
Somebody has to be asking for free practice, right? Like, I don't know.
Why else
they would continue to do it? It has to be a hassle for everybody, you know. Like, so somebody has to think it's a good idea somewhere, or has asked for it, or something.
I wonder if it's like an AMA. I don't want to use the word legality. I don't know if it's that extreme, but I almost wonder if there's like a general AMA rule of like you have to offer this, and in case of force majeure, weather things out of your control, you can get rid of it, but you have to have the intent of offering it. That'd be my guess.
But who? I mean, legally. Like, you think that legislation?
No, that's what I said. I didn't. The word legal is too strong, but I just wonder if it's almost like within the AMA, I don't know, bylaws or something, that like if you have a race, you have to offer non-timed chances to look at the racetrack. That is an AMA rule.
I could see that, but let's.
Why, I mean, that's up to them to change at their own will. Like, that doesn't. I mean, they change rules all the time. Like, literally all the time. They add addendums and change it every year. I am not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, like, that's not something that they couldn't.
You're saying get rid of it. Get rid of that.
Just because they wanted to. You know what I mean? Like, if they decided to, they could do.
Well,
yeah.
It seems like damn near anything they want with the rules, you know?
I think they could do a 5 minute, not even 5 minute, 3 minute free session in the 3 minutes beginning. The first 3 minutes of the first one is
like
free.
Do like two wheels on the ground flag, like they do outdoors, right? Like two laps or whatever, where you can't jump anything, and then have at it. Then that gets rid of your safety thing, and we still have to really adjust the schedule.
Okay,
that's good.
So we're all in favor of this program, and we'll move forward with that. And I'm sure Feld will do that immediately for us. That'd be great.
I think it's for them too. Like, do you think they want to start that early? I don't think they do.
I think it works well for everybody. And then too, you can fly out that night a lot of times, some of these guys. So, that works as well too. Second thing, should there be an AMA rule? Speaking of rules, like, should there be a rule about having gear that looks like a tuxedo? Is this
really?
Yeah.
Is this bad?
Yeah. Is this?
Wow.
I saw Ty Masterpool. He's a good guy. You know, good team. They're doing things. He's in the main event. He's got gear on with a tuxedo on it. And I don't know, man. Like, if you're just watching our show, our sport, are you like, what the hell is going on? I don't know.
I think it's great.
Okay. All right. So can we do a clown outfit? Can we do a janitor's outfit? Like, what part do you stop at? What about like a big muscular man?
I think there's a obvious element of sarcasm to it. So I don't think anyone's truly taking it seriously. I mean, dude, last week there was a guy wearing like Ricky Bobby knockoff gear. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's always an element of sarcasm. I'm glad Masterpool made the main, because I'm like, man, that's not a good look if you are in the LCQ and you're up front and you're running the tux and then you get outclassed, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he performed.
Okay.
So he's okay. I'm all right with it.
When do we stop, though? Because if we have the tuxedo, then now there's going to be, you know, someone else with the muscular body thing.
I don't think there's a cap on it.
Okay.
As the kids would say, no cap.
Yeah, I don't.
Whoa.
I don't know, man. I just... It's not like I'm not hugely passionate about this. It's just sort of a take that I had in the press box where I was like, wait, come on, stop it.
So I'm going to be really careful with this, because I can take you through some fly catalogs from maybe 10 to 15 years ago that would really blow your wig back on bad ideas. So I'll just politely stay out of this one for fear of retribution.
We had cats on gear.
Oh, and cat gear. Cat Marv. Gear. I'd like to see muscular man gear. Someone draw this up and send it to us on Twitter within the next hour
okay.
and a half.
All right. Okay. All right. Sounds good then. So we won't go forward with that motion then.
I like it.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get talked about the race. I want a normal race, man. I'm so over this.
You're getting it next weekend.
St. Louis should be good. They're good dirt. We're in a dome, unless the city of St. Louis is not, you know, paid its bills and the dome's falling apart. So yeah, we should be good next weekend. But man, this has been tough. This has been tough for these guys. We're getting some great racing. Seattle was fantastic. But yeah, I think everyone is over this, and talking to different people, talking to the mechanics for sure, they're over this. There's no doubt. So yeah.
It's gotta be expensive too, right? Like, it wasn't a full mutter, but man, the parts bill has to be higher this year. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Well, all we need for great racing, Weege, is we need Jet to crash, get hung up behind a lapper, and stall his bike. And then we got great racing, because this dude started like 10th, and he was on the move. His best lap time was a second and a half, better than everybody else. He was jumping over that wall better than anybody else. That's all we need. That's it. That's all we need. So if we can incorporate some booby traps each week, then we're going to have some great racing for the lead.
Yeah. I mean, it is 100% not untrue that the speed was ridiculous. JT and I, and all the different shows and meetings that we're in that you're not a part of, there's been a lot of talk about almost like the micro doses of speed, like where he catches guys. I think we talked about on this show last week, where he catches guys in one turn or two turns. It's not even a lap time. It's like 1/8 of the track he makes up 3/10 at will. And I think he's really starting to harness that. And you're like, oh no, you're seeing it now. Like, there's almost no start that he cannot overcome when you're going a second and a half faster.
Yep.
But I do want to give a shout out to, I saw a track that had separation. I saw not everyone able to do the same thing every time. I saw the skills and execution and being able to, you know, be clutch and get it done. We needed to get done. I saw that on display. I saw it go down to the final turn and be separated by a half second. I think the track played a factor. I think this is what we want. I think this is what we want. We want separation. We want skills on display. And I sure saw that.
Okay. All right. I sense the sarcasm. I can see it. I can feel it.
Well, it was really, I was relishing it when I listened to your post-race podcast, and McElrath, for example, is like, yeah, I think the last track we had that wasn't like that was Glendale. How was racing at Glendale?
I don't remember. Was it not good? I don't. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. The show started with that huge rhythm lane. It really looked like it was.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yes.
Options,
right.
And separation. Yep, yep. And it was like, no, nothing happened.
Yeah, everyone followed everybody. Yep. Yeah.
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 Then we got gnarly Daytona. I think Birmingham sucked because it just didn't have berms. I think it would actually have been okay. I don't know why it didn't have berms, but Indy. Yes, Jet swept it, but there was action going on in all three races, and then same thing here.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just flood the track every week then, Weege.
That's it.
Okay.
Yep. We'll make Supercross run it again.
At one point when Jet was coming through, you know, we're all pretty sure he's going to win it. He crashes into Coop, goes down, gets up. Then he's catching them again, and then he stalls it. And then we're like, okay, he's not winning this. And Lewis is like, if he wins this, I'm going back to MXGP. And then and then he's coming up, and I'm like, Lewis, you better book that flight, man, because I think he might still win. And then he got caught up behind a lapper. Then he kind of cruised it at the end. But, yeah, it was that good of a race by Jet Lawrence. But up front, Webb and Sexton stalled it. We had a lot of stalls. And then Sexton stalled it twice, which I think will probably be addressed at KTM this week, I'm sure.
The race one was from the tough block moving his rear brake. I asked him on the podium mm-hmm. about that. The first one, the heat race, I have no idea, but the second one, when he made that huge mistake, he bent his brake lever.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was, he hit the rear brake after that. That's why he stalled it the second time.
Yeah, that was great, though. And then Webb, I thought at different points, I'm like, no, I think Chase has this. I think Webb has this. I think Chase. I'm like, oh, no, Webb's got this. And then even Webb at the end, the closer that he is, Sexton was pushing and was all over him. And I'm like, yeah, maybe Sexton's got this now. It was really great racing between the two. I don't know how you – I mean, Webb was doing the wall. I guess Zim told Chase to do the wall. But by that point, I think it was too late. It had gone
Chase
away.
Chase never saw it. Chase never saw the board.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
never saw the pit board.
It was interesting to see that kind of go play out, and now Chase is probably like, "What, you know, what's going on?" But then the wall kind of ceased to be a bit of a factor. But anyways, JT, great race up front between those two.
Yeah, I think between all three, really. You know, Webb and Sexton. I'll be real honest. I think that they caught a break here with Jet rushing things. I mean, they did their part. They went and won the race, and they made less mistakes. Full stop. But I think that's the only thing that they can really lean on here. Like, if they're going to find a way back into this championship at all, it has to be from exactly what we saw in Seattle, the same thing we saw in Arlington, the same thing we saw in A2. Like, Jet's going to have to bring hardship upon himself, because I've just seen too much now, like pace-wise and innovation-wise on the racetrack. And he just has a leg up on these guys right now with speed and skill. So yes, the door is still open if he's going to make mistakes like that. And you know, I was talking about it on the show, and I know you haven't got to watch the show yet, Steve, but I was talking about on the show back and forth with Ricky and Weege about Jet not being patient, like in these moments and in the heat race. Like I thought he would kind of cross that bridge where he understood that he can go faster than these guys when he needs to. And if he just will trust that, trust himself, trust his ability, that he doesn't have to force the issue, right? And you watched the race with AP. There was no urgency. He kind of took it easy. And then when it was the door opened and he relied on his pace, fine, I'll make the pass and I'll win the race. And I saw him doing that most of the main event. He was kind of waiting, wasn't forcing it. And then I don't know if he got too excited or, you know, adrenaline got the best of him or just, you know, in the moment maybe. But that move on Webb, totally forced, right? Like we were halfway, not even halfway, 12 minutes left, something like that. Like he had so much time to deal with those two. You know, he had closed down 10 seconds or something, you know, like everything was in front of him. And I know it's easy for me sitting on the side of the track when my heart rate's low and I'm thinking clearly, but man, I think all he had to do was just be patient and wait and let his pace carry him around those guys. And I think he would have won pretty easily. And I know that sounds disrespectful to Webb and Sexton. And I don't mean it to be, I'm just purely looking at the speed he had and the way he could go around the racetrack. I really feel like there's a pretty big lost opportunity for Jet there. But again, that's why they dropped the gate. And that's why Cooper Webb has done what he's done in his career is he doesn't make those critical mistakes and he finds ways when other people give opportunities to get the job done.
Well, this is great.
It was just a fantastic race.
This is great for the series because I think he won three in a row. If he comes from 10th to win this, which we all think he would have, you know, we're around 11 now, and things seem to be clearer, and I think this just gives those two guys hope. I mean, Sexton, you know, He's riding better. He's riding during the week now. He's back on his normal program doing motos. So, this just gives those guys some hope now. We're going to see great racing. This is good. If Jed had just done what we did, it would maybe – I mean, some would argue it's already over, but, yeah, maybe it'd be really over.
We already said a couple weeks ago, I think they've gotten to acceptance of, like, we're not just going to find – the speed to just start beating him straight up, and he just starts getting fourth every weekend. You have to hope for the mistake. I talked to Jeremy Coker about it again, and he's like, no team knows more than us that you never know. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. You were 99% Supercross champ last year. And then Eli gets hurt. So they just know that's it. We have to stay close, and we have to hope he messes up. And maybe one time when he messes up, it's real bad. You know, Coker's like, we're not wishing he gets hurt, but, like, we're just got to hope for mistakes. Mm-hmm. But to Lewis Phillips' point, if it had been like this, like if he, bad start, catches him, stalls, crashes, gets held up by a lapper, and still wins.
I think the points, too, right? That's a big swing points-wise. You know, it goes to 24 to second place versus 16. Or, I'm sorry, 16 now. That's a huge swing.
Let's not forget, too, like besides that wall that he was doing way better than Coop, and the other guys that were managing to do it once in a while, the rhythm out of the first turn, 2-3-3-3, greasing that, no problem. Where other guys couldn't.
Three out of the next.
And then the next turn, 3-3-3-1, no problem. Yeah. Guys could do it, but they just couldn't do it all the time like the kid could. So it wasn't just this sand wall, which was ridiculously. We were joking in the press box. We're like, can we see the dartfish on that? We're like, we're not quite sure. We need to see the dartfish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not.
Was it worth some time or not?
Yeah, is that okay? It kind of goes back to our re-raceables week.
I have a question.
At Miami.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. And, you know, I know that people are going to hear this on Jet side and tell – I don't care. It's not even so much a take as it is a question. When I'm listening to the interview on the podium that Will does with Jet. And Jet says, you know, I – kind of ran into Cooper there, and, you know, I probably should have just not been so nice and hit him harder, you know, and me backing out of it and being nice is the reason I crashed. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, okay, I understand your perspective, and this is your career, you're deciding your own fate, I get it, but, like, my immediate reaction was, no, that's not it, like, you're missing the plot. You don't need to do that at all, like, you're thinking you should have gotten in there and hit him harder and been more aggressive. That would have not made you fall. Like, why are you forcing it there in any way, shape, or form? Like, the way that track was, all you had to do was jump your rhythms, pass them in the whoops where you were passing lots of people with zero chance of any sort of contact or, you know, any sort of scuffle, like any of that, right? Like, immediately was like, no, you're missing the point of this crash. Like, there's a lesson to be learned here. It's like, you didn't need to take that chance. Why are you forcing it in any way of contact in your best spot of the racetrack, which was jumping that wall? You decided to go inside there. Like, just trust yourself. Trust in what you're doing on the track. Trust how you caught these guys. That's going to take you right past them. So, like, do you guys understand what I'm saying? Like, I immediately was like, no, that's not it. Like, being more aggressive there is what you're saying that maybe would have – that's like, you should have been the other side. Like, you don't need to put yourself in any sort of risk whatsoever, and you could have won this race.
Yeah, I think
right,
so.
Don't even bother sending it this end. Just wait to one of those rhythms and just do
that chance at all, let alone going more.
I think you guys –
you can see on that track, you can pass the dudes in the rhythms. Just keep doing triple, 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 triple.
Right. Yeah.
And eventually they're just going to mess up.
I think you guys sometimes read too much into podium interviews, because there could be alternative things they want to think about and say and put in the heads of competitors. I'm not saying
you think
this
Jed
case.
Is that level of cat and mouse game theory.
Yeah, well, we saw him with the big brain math last year in SMX and stuff. Sometimes he has these weird things. Like, he has to know Darren Lawrence will Lars everyone will tell him. I mean, it's obvious that, you know, by saying that, it doesn't really give Coop his, it almost is a way out of, you know, saying that you made the mistake, and it's really like Coop got lucky that I didn't hit him harder, you know, and it's like a little bit like, we all know that's not true, but when they say it doesn't mean that.
I don't mean it in a disrespectful way to Webb. That's not what I mean. I'm more of thinking like big picture in Jet's mind of what he's thinking about how he needs to win these races. I'm like, do less. Just let yourself and how good you are win the race naturally, because he would have gone right past those guys. The way he was at his pace was so much quicker. He would have just ridden past them, right? You don't have to get in and make an overly aggressive move, which I feel like he was doing in the sand. You know, it's just so the risk factor there is so unnecessary, right? If you're the same speed, it's the last lap. I get it, man. You gotta take some risk and get in there. But I think it was just really misplaced. Like the move was misplaced. Like he just, I think he got the strategy wrong.
Yeah, I think that that's obvious, right? From anybody. Well,
like mentally, how he thought he needed to go about winning, I think was wrong. Like he didn't need to force anything, especially with how much time was left. There was so much time left in that race.
So Webb wins, and down to 16. Sexton rode well. Sexton was happier after the race. He was not happy last week with his race at all. Even though he's on the box this weekend. He was didn't win, but he was still much happier. He rode better. So I think for him, that's the main thing there. Jet third, and 16 points. Sexton pulls in a little closer as well. AP fourth. Good job for AP, man. We saw the heat race battle with Jet. And then in the main event, man, he was further back of Jet, and he kind of said he followed him through. These are great conditions for him, as always, as we know. And he was happier with his ride. I mean, he did. And even AP being AP, he's like, yeah, Jet just let up at the end. Like, it was, a second or something? I don't know what it was exactly. It was really close. And he wasn't even – he was like, yeah, Jet just cruised. So, but still, he was all over Jet at the end. Roczen fifth. Kenny had a crash in the first practice. He couldn't get a time in the next practice. He crashed in the heat, had to go to the LCQ, won that, had the crappy
tape. Did you say his goggles broke somewhere along the way, too?
His goggles broke with the 30-second board up. Yes, is what he told me.
In the main?
In the main, yes. Kenny Day from Fox saved the day. He was right there with a new pair. But the back of the little strap at the back, that the adjuster strap, broke. So Kenny told me it was his best fifth he's ever gotten. So. I mean, when you read through it and all that, not too bad.
I can't believe, first of all, he got that start. I was like, wait, is that Roczen? Are we sure that's Roczen?
Yeah.
Because we had just made a big deal about he's in the next to last gate on the outside. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's second.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, there's something to be said, though. And I was really considering forcing it in our Around the Berm segment before the race. Because when you're outside like that, it sounds terrible. The riders you are around, you're probably going to get the jump on them and outpower them all the way down. And then you get all this room to kind of run it in deep and get there. Like, you're kind of uninterrupted exiting the starting gate. And then because all these other guys on the inside are battling for elbows and they're pulling double clutching because it's so tight, right? Maybe one or two of them get a clean run. But I see that a lot. It's no different than the LCQ. Like, you're just, you're against privateers. No offense to them, but better equipment, more talent, all those things. And then you have this clear shot to get down there. So I wasn't blown away, is the point, that he got a good start in the main event because of that kind of setup.
It's hard to force something out of you, JT, a compliment at all. I mean, nobody picks that gate. If it's such a great spot by privateers, and I agree with you, and that's an awesome start by Kenny. That's an awesome start.
Of course it was.
You're like, I wasn't surprised. Like,
no, I'm saying strategy-wise, I went over there and I stood there. Like, you don't hear what I'm talking to Weege on the radio. I'm like, I just went to look through his gate. I think he's going to get a good start in the LCQ. The same thing happened in the main event. Like,
well, the LCQ is one thing. The LCQ is one
thing. It has nothing to do with giving compliments, Steve. It's about likelihood. Whatever, man.
I just want to see a factory guy go out there because they can be out by the privateers and pull a good start. I'm waiting for that. I'll wait for that. I mean, the guy, that was a great start. He had longer to go than everybody else, and he pulled it in the main event. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where this. Just, I think you just say great start by Kenny, and we drop that. I don't know. Maybe not.
I'm saying
it's just
whatever.
Weech, are you with me or not? I mean, it's not. I know what JT's saying, starting by the privateers, because certainly I've had a few riders do that. You do get the jump on them, and you have better start technique. You're a better rider. Your bike is better. But it's just great job by Kenny.
It was. And if the start had been half as long, it would have been much tougher. But when you have the length of the stadium, the angles change, the physics change as far as being outside, there's a lot more at play. That was a phenomenal start by Kenny. I don't know how you could say I'm not saying it was awesome. That's not the point at all. I'm more giving analysis on, like, what that dynamic's like, what Kenny's looking at. He's looking around going, okay, if I get out of here clean, I have a straight shot the length of the stadium, which changes my angle that I have to get to. Because if the first turn is super short, like Detroit, I can't get there. I don't have enough room to move. And everything changes about that start versus the length of the stadium to be able to get there. That's it.
I thought Tomac could be spicy. Really good in practice. Busted out that rhythm first in the first session after the first turn. Looked great all day. Aggressive. Kind of what he did last week a little bit as far as as far as it goes. Now, he didn't win the heat. Hunter won, which we'll get to that. That was great. But he was certainly charging hard and coming up. And, dude, start, Swedish for Tomac right now. This is where it's at. He's not giving himself any chance off the gate.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. He's not been that bad with the starts really since the Yamaha switch. Now they've been consistently atrocious for a couple of weeks now, and that includes, all three Triple Crowns were bad, right?
Yeah.
So that's borderline a lot of data. He got a start at Birmingham Heat, and since then it's been terrible. So I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it. You can start going down the road of, when it rains, it pours, and we all know that when a guy goes to the line and thinks, I got these dudes tonight, it almost like makes you get a better start.
It helps, yes, absolutely.
Yes, when you just got positive vibes or confidence or whatever you want to call it, and you wonder if it's just all connected. But I don't want to go that far down the road, and I guess that's out of respect for Eli Tomac, because, there's still a chance any one of these weeks, like we saw in practice, that he starts going real fast. And then you're like, oh, no, it was just starts. So I don't know, but, data doesn't lie. We just have never seen a run of results like this.
No.
Where it's not even podium and not even really close to the podium. I think he rode well. I think he was 16th. 16th to 6th, something like that, I believe.
Well, we don't know. We don't have data at the line.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, Clinton, our statistician, told me 16th. I think he had the whole shot data. Point is, rode good, but no matter what, you just don't have – three races in a row where he's just not even in the fight for the podium. That just doesn't happen until now.
So he can get on. I think he could, if he starts, he gets on the box probably. I don't know. Chasen and Webb rode really great. So maybe not, but I think he's got a podium the way he was riding all day.
That's my whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes. It would seem like that. But when you have an entire 10-year body of work where you're never just getting 7 3 weeks in a row. It's clearly it can't just be starts. All of a sudden, it's just that. It makes you wonder if something else is going on. Or he's just not the same or whatever. I don't know.
Says here on the sheet, he's just slightly worse than Ken off the start. Says right here, just slightly worse than Ken.
Wait, really?
Yeah, Ken is 6.9. He's 7.3.
Oh, his average.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's
his average. Exactly. I will say, brief aside here, I did ask Clinton, our statistician, who does have the at the whole shot stripe and at the end of the first lap data, and he looked at that over the last couple of years, and it's honestly not as different as you think. It's usually one or two positions at most. It's not like a 10-position difference sometimes where he's 18th at the whole shot stripe and then a guy's 8th at the end of the first lap. It's not as big a difference as you think. But what I'm saying is we can blame it on the starts, but at no point ever would Eli Tomac just be getting three straight 6th or 7th in any previous year. I don't know if you can just say, oh, for the first time ever, he just randomly got three bad starts. It makes you think it might be that he's just not able to roll through these guys like he used to.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on confidence. Just makes you just a better rider just when you know you can win and you know you're the guy. That's absolutely a thing. But when you have the day that he had in the heat and in the practice, he had to be sitting there going I can win this thing or get in the box. I don't know. Yeah. It's not good though right now, JT, for Tomac. It's not great.
Eli start bad, Eli ride good.
Yeah.
That's all I have for you.
Yeah, that's probably a fair
I don't want to get in trouble for not giving a good enough compliment or anything.
I'm just trying to, you know, good job, Kenny. Hunter Lawrence won the heat. And are we, this is the first time brothers have won a heats? Has to be. James and Malcolm. Malcolm wasn't in the 450 class.
Hill brothers, did they ever sweep heats?
Did Tyson and Talon take a couple heats in 88?
The premier class?
Yeah. So yeah, chalk that up. That's pretty cool for the brothers. Hunter rode really well. He had set his fastest lap, the second last lap of the night, and was going really fast by the end. He did a 57, a 55, and a 57 times on 18, 19, 20. Then he did 54, 55, 54, 54. And I guess he got – I missed it, but I guess he got Justin Cooper right at the end on the last lap or whatever. So, yeah, really good job for Hunter Lawrence. Fantastic.
Yeah, and I did talk to him. JT knows this because he watched Weed Show. He says that the little shoulder injury still does have the crack in his shoulder blade. When everybody's just going psycho those first couple laps, mm-hmm. he's maybe not quite the same. But yeah, the end of the race, when it just gets more like line choice, just ride smart, pick your spots, then he's kind of just back to normal, and that's where he was doing more damage. But we haven't seen him much, I feel like, this year in general. Like, even his good rides have been, you know, he kind of comes through. You don't necessarily see starts. I think that heat race really does prove you just have to take Jet out of all comparisons to anyone. And you'd be like, oh, Hunter Lawrence, pretty good.
So Justin Cooper hasn't won a heat yet, has he? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So this is, like, I'm thinking about the rookies, right? Like, I still consider Cooper a rookie. So, yeah. Rookie wins a heat. Not too bad. 11 rounds in.
Isn't it funny how I've said this over and over? It's like a million things can change. They're in the same class, or now they're in a different class and everything. But it's like you can still draw a general Hunter Lawrence, Justin Cooper, similar.
Yeah, really, right? Yeah.
Indoors, outdoors, yeah. 250s, 450s, yeah. Hard pack track, rutted track, whatever. It's like flip a coin between the two of them over the course of like 5 years.
Right. Yeah. No, good point. Cooper 8th, Barcia 9th. Anything? Anybody? Barcia fell.
Barcia's officially happy. Officially, yeah. I think, happy, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know about, like, after this weekend, I didn't check in, but I believe so, yeah. Bike's better.
I wish I could tell you I was watching those guys at all, but I was not.
Cooper, I saw Barcia because he was trying to do that rhythm a lot, and he hit somebody, which is, yeah, whatever, like, that's no big deal. But Cooper, I got nothing. Like, I don't know if I got nothing on Justin Cooper. So I did notice Hunter move up a little bit. Anderson is in a deep, dark hole right now, I think, right?
He's got to be, man.
Does he? Has this coincided with his move to club and being around Phil?
I mean, it certainly hasn't helped. It is a little odd. I don't think it's directly related, but it's mm-hmm. not like you could say that was some magic secret, magic wand.
No. I didn't he start up close to the front? I feel like he did.
He did?
Yeah.
He's done that a couple races now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The starts have actually been good.
Yeah. Yeah, Triple Crown, his starts were good, and two of the three, for sure.
Yeah, I think he was third in this.
Well, he's seventh in the points now. Going backwards a little bit on that.
I would love to get some truth serum, and I think he's a pretty honest guy. I'm probably going to go to club this week and hang out. I would love to ask him. Like, Anderson is a really good rider. He's been there. He's done it. He's elite. He's elite. I got to wonder sometimes when Jet goes by him, but he's got to be like, what in the hell? Like, I've raced some bad dudes in my time, but, like, there's got to be things that they see him doing. Don't you think, JT? Like, they see him go by, or they're behind him, and they're like, oh, my God, what did he just do? It's got
to
be.
Yeah, and I really thought that Anderson would, like, have a chance to kind of latch on. But that, yeah, it just shows you where the level is, because they can't. You know, like, a lot of, we've seen it in history where guys are like, oh, that's the line. I can go as fast almost everywhere else. I just didn't know that line was there. And then they kind of stick to him and go with him, but they just can't do it. Like, he just rides off into the sunset whether they want him to or not.
I mean, you I think if you're a Cowie, you can't be stoked with Jason. Like, what's like, he was a contender, right? He's gotten a couple podiums, but I mean, this is your number one guy, and he's not even been in the fight for a month, right?
I think they were really happy.
They were.
He was great early.
Yeah.
The only thing, there is a chance that they're like, yeah, new bike. Maybe the rutted conditions aren't the best for him. I don't think he's ever been like completely hot and cold. But maybe there's a chance they're like, this bike ruts soft, and him, mm-hmm. we haven't figured it out yet, and that's why it's dropped off so much. Because, yeah, the first four or five rounds, he was really good. So maybe internally they know they've got a – these soft tracks are killing us, and it's not just all on him.
It seemed like the first rounds, like A1 and A2 were both soft, and then San Diego was kind of – I don't know. I understand what you're saying. Like, there's a chance or something like that going on, but we haven't had the prototypical hard pack tracks other than Glendale. You know, it's been a lot of – soft tracks, and some of them early he was pretty good.
Yeah, the two Anaheims were certainly, I guess, softer, ruddier than normal Anaheim, but how would you compare them to this?
Yeah, they're not this for sure.
Yeah,
they weren't Anaheim. No. Either, you know.
No,
standard Anaheim.
Well, yeah. This weekend, I mean, I'd say Anaheim 1, Anaheim 2, and Glendale, he was right in the mix with anybody.
And maybe this weekend, let's see this weekend, right?
Oh yeah, maybe.
We'll just be like, we'll point at the dirt and be like, there, that's it. Malcolm 11th, Benny Bloss 12th. Benny came from way back. The only guy that further back was Mitchell Harrison. And then, so Benny came from last to 12th. And like Oldenburg after the race was like, Benny blew by me so quick. So, you know, Benny was on it. He was very happy after the race. Beta Benny was stoked.
Okay, I got a couple things on Benny. So we see Cody Shock with a broken collarbone at the airport wearing a backpack. And then I see Benny Bloss in a sling last week, yet he doesn't have a broken collarbone?
Correct.
What happened?
They just misdiagnosed it.
Nobody knows, Weech.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
He told me that he's got a, and I don't know, the end of the collarbone that attaches to the sternum, he's got a displaced collarbone from the sternum. So he's got some electrolysis going on in between sessions, and yeah, but he seems okay.
Yeah, because when I saw him at the airport, I'm like, you going to pull a Shock and race Seattle? And it was like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah, he said his dog.
And then I'm watching practice, and I'm like, there's a chance. Well, and then also, please explain this hilarious exchange of him skimming the rhythm lane.
Yeah, only Benny could have done this. It was amazing. So after the first turn, he tried to go 2-3-3, and then he clipped the big one. And, dude, he manualed and blitzed the rest of the rhythm right in front of me. I saw the whole thing just bang, bang, over the – like, I'm just like, a shorter guy would have died. But not Benny, not with those legs. He literally just blitzed the rhythm section. And then I said, dude – and he was like, you saw that? And I was like, oh, yeah, man. That was not advisable for normal human beings.
Was it fast? Actually?
No, not fast.
Oh,
no.
Not in a good way.
No, not in a good way. It was.
This isn't like Travis Pastrana where you're like, he invented something.
No, this was, okay. I'm hanging on for dear life here. So, Oldenburg 13th, Mitchell is in 450s full time now. So, but he's not going to do any nationals, but he is going to do, I think they said four more races for this team. So Freckle is now a 450 guy, and he's kind of underrated. I always thought he's a little underrated. So he should be a main event guy. Maybe get a little closer up to the factory guys. If you look at the factory guys, it's Benny and then Mitchell, right?
Yep.
And then Adam. Adam got 14th. He said he's way too nice getting lapped, and it's costing him spots every week. But he doesn't seem to care. So he said he stopped on the track this week. Stopped.
Last week he wasn't as nice. Right? Like, was that the race where he kind of was a factor? I'm trying to think what race that was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't remember.
Adam?
Remember. He got in somebody's way at some point recently. But, yeah, there's an art to it. Adam hasn't been lapped a lot in his life, so nope. I get it. But there's definitely an art to it.
Yeah, and he said he's just letting these guys by, and he doesn't really care. Like, whatever, I'm just stopping. I'm not going to get in the way of this race.
Yeah.
So.
But I thought he said he is mad that, like, he's trying to not screw up the leaders, and the other dudes are just passing him. Because they're just doing their deal.
Yeah, because he just said those guys are going for, you know, it's $500 or whatever he made a joke about, you know?
Yeah.
Vince is
it's unfortunate.
Vince is 15th. Any comments on that? Anybody?
I honestly just don't even know the schedule of this team or these riders. It's like I just watched the race and I'm like, oh, they're here. Okay.
Yep.
Like, I don't even know. Has Vince been in every race this year?
No.
They don't go east, right?
No, yeah.
Yeah, I just get so confused and who's in what class. And I mean, they raced Dallas. 450s at the East Dallas. Opener, didn't they?
They went to Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't keep up.
Okay. McElrath 16th. Master Pool 17th. Not with the tuxedo gear.
Yep.
Yep. We just found
looking classy.
Yeah. Drake 18th. Cade is 19th. Cade rode well in the heat to get in.
Yeah.
Brees. I had Brees in Fault Fantasy, and that LCQ with Chiz and and Brees and
Vince.
Vince. Yeah.
So good.
Holy smokes! Yeah.
So good. Like. Three guys who know how to race themselves in LCQs. Like, Brees is NFG. Like, he doesn't care. We know Chiz knows how to Chiz.
Yep.
And, I mean, JT, you really swung for the fences with your report on Vince.
Yeah, what
did you hear this, Steve?
No, I got a tweet about it, but I don't know what he said. I didn't watch it.
you'll have to watch the race, but I made a reference about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire and the relationship of if there's ever a horror movie you wanted to promote, there needs to be a trailer involving Vince Freeze in a transfer spot as your horror movie.
I wonder if that gets you a call.
From who?
Someone who calls NBC. Mike Genova or somebody.
Please have him call me.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I would never back away from that call. I'm not going to make it on national television.
Your pit reporter.
I'm on national television if I'm going to back away from it.
Your pit reporter referred to my rider as a horror movie.
No, I didn't refer to him as a horror movie. I referred to the scenario of battling Vince for a transfer position in an LCQ.
Yeah.
Horror movie.
It's a good one, and I agree. But yeah.
Yes.
You think that Feld's gonna be like, no, we hated that. Why?
No. So someone calls Feld, and then they have to talk to you.
Yeah, put us a three-way call. I'll take the three-way with you.
I just love that Vince has obviously done a lot of things to a lot of riders, but I'm like, the matchup with Chiz, and Brees, I'm just like, this is great. This is just strength on strength, like. They all know what they're doing in this scenario. Like, these are men. These are not boys. And it's just so fun to watch it.
I'm not kidding you. 10 minutes after Chiz went over the bars in the rhythm, he's up in the press box.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, just comes up to the press box, sits next to me, and we just start rapping.
That was a big one.
I go, dude, are you all right? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. They show me he's got a hematoma on his leg, but I mean, yeah, you know.
Oh, I was worried about those knees.
He does have a lot of protection on chest protectors and neck braces and
He doesn't wear the LS2 anymore. That's just, thankfully. I was wondering if he turned to dust. I was really I had Brees in fantasy and Chiz is awesome. And I'm just like, oh no. Oh man, I gotta root against 80-year-old Chiz here.
You took Chiz off your team because you had him on your team.
Yeah, I took him off.
And you were defending it, and I was like, what?
Yeah. No, I thought with these conditions in the hometown race, Brees would be a guy. And Rod Bell. So, yeah, it's mud. So, it's the winner of Rod Bell. That's just where we're at.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. You're right. That's the races that he killed it. The mud races early in the year.
Yeah, just gets back in it. Maybe Rod Bell's if we see a mudder in St. Louis, Rod Bell probably flooded it at night. Broke in, turned the hose on, and flooded.
There's probably holes in the roof, to be honest.
Yeah.
He would sabotage the HVAC system. If ever water circulates through the AC, drip onto the track.
Exactly.
Yeah.
St. Louis is approaching that level of venue where we start to worry a little bit.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, Anton. Anton City.
Anton City.
Mitchell Harrison crashed out early. Bad for my fantasy team. Yeah, not great. So that one really hurt me. But yeah, that's 450 class. Weegee, and JT, you guys had a cornucopia of guests on TV. RV, MC. Yeah,
the champ. MC. MC's good.
The city where the champs come out, Seattle. So
yes, I. Trees to the press box, no one was in there, and I was just in the booth. And then they just started coming in. Like JB comes in and Vilpoto comes in. And at some point, I'm just talking to all these guys. I mean, a lot of titles combined between me, JT, and all these guests.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's who I hung out with over the weekend.
I had MC on the show like 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, why don't they call you? Why don't you do TV? Why don't you do Race Day Live? Like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know.
You know what's bad? You know what's bad when your career gets lumped in with a guy who's never, literally never raced before? That's when it's bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wanted to use it. We ran out of time. I wanted so bad I ran out of time to use the, well, between everyone you've just seen on our show, between me, JT, RC, MC, and Vilpoto, we got 18 championships between the five of us. I wanted to use it bad.
Well, I believe, sir, on Race Day Live, Justin Brayton used that line.
Oh, did he?
73 Supercross wins and seven titles between the three of us.
He's incredible. I mean, do you see the simpatico, the great minds thinking alike here?
Absolutely. I feel like JB and Dan did the night show way more than usual. I don't like Lurch and man.
Haley
are you know the standard and. Honestly, it was just all JB and Dan in the night over the speakers. We had the speakers playing in the press box.
JT, I'm laughing because Mathis sends a text to JB and he's like, I feel like you talked a lot more. The Chase, the Rocky Mountain guy, I feel like he didn't say four words all night. And JB's like, yeah because it was Lurch. He wasn't the announcer. That's why.
That's possible.
He wasn't announcing. That's why.
It's possible.
He was in Salt Lake City.
It's possible that Chase's Rocky Mountain preview video got piped in and I thought it was live. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
He definitely was on the speakers. The guy from Rocky Mountain was on the speakers. I guarantee you that. But whether it was a pre-taped thing or not, I don't know. But anyway,
like, I'm not doing Salt Lake. St. Louis. Like Lee Diffie's back, and I encourage a text next Saturday saying, "Man, we just didn't really have much to say." Very quiet.
Hey, at one of the races, Aaron Feldstein is one of our NBC cohorts. He was there this weekend and he's in my ear. Like he has a direct line to talk to me. And one of the races I was like moving, trying to get to the podium, whatever. And like, I didn't have much to add anyway. There was just a lot happening on screen. I didn't have much to add, to be honest. And he's like, "Hey, are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm good." He's like, "All right." Like I knew what he was saying. He's like, "Are you going to talk or what?" I was like, I was running across the stadium and there's just, I was trying to find something to talk about and I couldn't find an angle in, but that's going to be Ouija next week.
Yeah. Sometimes you got nothing, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't, like I forced something in that sucks. I don't feel like that's adding anything. You know, like that's not helping.
Well, so I got to go back and watch how good was MC Ouija in the booth? Like how good, how classy.
Oh, dude, it was awesome. You feel like at this point we've asked these guys every question we come up with, but I did not remember or I had not heard this. I said, so test track going into your rookie season, like, did you think that, like, I can beat these guys? Like, have you ever asked, like, was he smoking Stanton at the test track, like, going into the season? Was he flying at the test track? I've never asked that.
A great question, yeah.
Yeah. He said that he was so not confident that his contract had top three bonuses. And he said, can we bump that down a bit so you can get me a little bit for fourth?
Yeah.
And then I think the first two races he finished fourth, so he was pumped.
Yeah.
He really played his cards right. And then he's like, then I won it round two or round three. And then the next week I won round four. He was surprised. So that was a hilarious exchange. I think all these guys are a little more confident than they let on, a little more humble.
Right.
It was hilarious to hear the humble roots there of him not expecting this. And then RC we hit him right between the eyes with the 72 wins for Jet.
What do we make of this? Like there's low key unhappiness about the 72 talk. Like it's definitely a thing.
I think so.
He is happy at all about any of that.
Yes.
Yeah, he
just said, let's get the 30 or 40 or something before we start talking about this.
He said on the pulp, somebody's doing poker chips again. We got to move around. But, I think it was you. On the show too, low key, not stoked on this talk.
No. You can see it. Like, he's not saying he's not happy with it, but you can tell the tone. Like, I think he feels like a lot of people do. Like, it's too early to be talking about that, you know?
He's the greatest champion we've had. No offense to my buddy Ricky, or my buddy James, my buddy Jeff, my buddy Rick. Greatest champion we've ever had. That's it. He had it all.
We know you love MC. We know.
We need to. Special time in the sports. Special man. Just, it's incredible. So.
You know,
what would have happened if Timmy ever won a championship?
Wow.
Jed is awesome. I mean, we've just gone insane, even on this particular episode, singing his praises. But I just think about the fact that, like, think about Adam Cincirillo getting on a 450 and then winning Monster Cup. And then what did he lead? Like 14 laps at Anaheim 1? And he was, I just saw it in the notes this week. He was fast qualifier in his first seven 450 mm-hmm. races.
Yep.
It appears, maybe not, but it appears that Adam's probably not going to get a 450 Supercross win. Maybe not. Maybe right. Next year he comes on strong, whatever.
Yeah.
But there was no way anyone was leaving Anaheim 1 in 2020 saying, like, yeah, I don't think Adam's ever going to win a single race.
You can't – I hope you're not going to compare Adam and Jet's 450 career.
The point is this.
At any point.
No, here's my point. You really don't ever know anything. Like, no one was saying Adam was going to win 72, but there was 0.0% chance you thought he would win none. So it really goes to show just how overall unpredictable racing can be.
Or Pastrana. I would have bet my house that Travis Pastrana would win a Supercross.
I do agree with you. It's way, 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 way too early to talk about 72. But if Jeff wants to talk about it, have at it. I just think if any of us or anybody is like, I think this is going to happen, Jet's his own person, right? If he wants to say it, so be it, right? He's the one that's got to live up to the expectation. I just think for anybody else to say it is like, let's just see how things go.
What I mean is when guys have that much potential and they can't even win a single race, counting on 60 or 70 out of anyone is a lot, no matter how good you are. And obviously, Jet is unreal. And yes, I agree. He's at a higher level than even those guys were. But I don't know. Pastrana, I don't know what Pastrana's ceiling was. Yes, I agree. There was more Jet hype. I mean, dude, he's coming into Supercross with a perfect season.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there was 0% chance Adam doesn't win a single. So no matter what the odds are, you're like, you can count on nothing.
And also, Jet won his first ever 450 Supercross, and he won SMX Championship against all those guys. There's a lot there to differentiate him between AC or Pastrana or any of those guys.
But I'm just saying the unforeseen stuff that you just cannot see happens a lot.
Yep. One injury. Yep. Yeah. Races like the other night where he was, in my opinion, clearly the best guy, and he still didn't win. Like, those things happen. And I was having a conversation with a guy, Steve, you were in this group text, where he said, Jet's going to win out. He's going to win out. And I'm like all of them? Like, he's winning every race from here. And he's like, yep. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, this racing, these guys are pretty good. Like, you just, one thing goes wrong, one mistake, one tip over, one bad start, and we got it the very next race. You know, like, it's hard to be perfect, and that's what makes that 72 number so crazy. And you can say it was the era. You can point to whatever you want. I don't care. None of that was in any of Jeremy McGrath's control. He had to race who showed up on Saturdays. It's a huge number for anybody to get to.
And yet, if you teleport Chiz back in time, he wins.
Oh, God.
we just doesn't want to entertain this talk at all. Just...
No, I don't. I don't.
All right.
I hope no one's saying era talk with McGrath. Like, I don't care. You don't win.
No, there are.
Yeah. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, 100%. No, but that's not anything he can control.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with him. Well, you race who you grew up with, who you race against. It's easy to look back 30 years ago and say, yeah, but like that has... I don't buy into any of that.
Greatest,
like, it's not how it works.
Greatest champion we've had. Greatest champion.
David Villeman was just on Pulp saying, here's the 1999 lineup. That's the start of the ever. Who won the title that year?
This person was pointing to like 94, 95, 96. That's what I think they were pointing to.
You know what?
Bradshaw leaves, Bale leaves, yes. Stanton leaves. You know, like, Rocco's not who he was. Kudrowski's not who he was. Like, that's what they were pointing to, not 99. To be
fair. That is... clear. And then we don't, okay, what's year seven? What's the field for year seven for Jet compared to year seven for MC? It could be the same thing.
Wow.
But by the way, I think sometimes you have to equate the lack of competition is actually bred by the guy being so freaking good that,
well,
the other guys waved the white flag.
Well, what do
But this was people weaving the series too, right? Like the best guys all just kind of left, you know? Like if you look back at the results, like there was an exodus of the prime guys. So that's not his fault. There's nothing you can do. Like I'm not, there's no blame. I'm just saying if you really want to get ticky-tacky, there was a couple years in there where, yeah, like he was killing everybody and the best guys, it kind of, not that they would, I don't think they would have beat him anyway. You could say that. I would be on the first person to say that. It probably wouldn't have mattered. But yeah, it's, there's a million different ways to kind of slice it and manipulate the data however you want to.
What are we going to do? What are we going to get
JMB
when...
JMB not being there, so go ahead, Steve.
What are we going to do when, in a couple years, when it's just Chase, I don't see the next
guy.
No,
that's
guy.
Where we're headed.
Yeah.
That's where we're headed.
Yeah. I don't see that guy coming at all, right? Nope. And we're going to have
so
Chase, and we're going to have the bed bug guy. Yeah.
Ricky
yeah.
says, and I don't mean to blow Ricky out. I hope he won't be mad at me for that. He thinks that Deegan has a chance to go to that level someday. The way he innovates, pushes the limits, rides, he thinks he has a chance to maybe get there. Whether or not, we're just talking about people who have the potential to maybe step it up to that elite level. Like we're talking about a level that most people will never, ever see. Even race-winning guys will never see. It's pretty rare air that, you know, Jed and Chase are going to be at in a few years. So we'll see.
I'm just saying, I wonder if it is not a – McGrath can't control who decides to retire. I almost wonder if he did have some control over that. Like, is it a complete coincidence that at the end of 93, Bradshaw's like, yeah, I'm taking a break. Is it a complete coincidence? Or is that like a 10% reason that some of these guys started to give up?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think it was for Bradshaw.
No,
I don't. Yeah. I don't. I know just yeah. because you look at how unhappy he was. I don't think that was.
That didn't contribute, though.
I mean, maybe a percent or two. I just think, like, if you look at why he left, it was like he was really unhappy with being there. You know, it didn't seem like it was about McGrath because in '92, I think he was kind of there too. Like, I don't think he was handling the pressure of that being that guy very well.
All right, let's talk 250s because you guys want to keep talking about McGrath. I mean,
yeah, let's do it.
Just, you know, who wants to keep talking about him? I talked to him in the pits for like 20 minutes. It was great.
Oh, God.
We talked e-bikes, though.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, we talked e-bikes. We didn't
talk. Steve talking e-bikes with McGrath.
I would have left so fast. I would have immediately exited so quickly.
What would you have exited quicker, that conversation or me talking about the U2 at the Sphere? Because that happened a few times, too.
With McGrath?
No, not with McGrath, but the Sphere conversation came up a few times, yeah.
Yeah, probably that one. Probably the Sphere quicker because I've heard it so many times. Maybe MC would have something cool to offer about e-bikes.
Okay, so you stick around for that, and then you'd bump. Yep. Yeah. All
you
right.
would have had a quote similar to Cooper Webb on the podium. With
yeah,
talking e-bikes.
Oh,
with
my gosh.
What is – yeah, holy.
Will's eyes were as big around as coffee saucers.
Coop, man. Coop. He's NFG. He really is. Yeah.
Oh, man. I feel like we missed out. Like, I wish Coop should have started leaning in on this 4 or 5 years ago. But now he's finally there. It always happens. The guys turn 27, 28. Yeah, they start knowing how to really be themselves. Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, that's great. I wonder if that gets...
And for the record, we didn't get... JT, I didn't hear anything from anyone. Like, I heard so many people be like, in their heads say, were they going nuts? And I'm like, everybody laughed.
So I was told that it's really not a big deal when we're on Peacock because it's cable. If that was NBC on, like... where are we at? Philly is the next NBC. Much bigger deal. That's what I was told. So because I was paranoid, really nervous about things being said like that, cuss words, whatever. And I was told, it's not great, but on Peacock like that, like nobody's getting in trouble.
I feel like, I feel like that's going to get him a little bit of a. That's going to get someone calling him, say, "Hey, man, probably not great to say," but then nothing else. Like just
For sure. Yeah, it's not a good idea, right. But. I was more worried about like FCC wise.
Oh, Janet Jackson,
like that, which would happen on NBC, but not Peacock.
They're not actually bad words though. They're not.
No,
actually,
I'm saying when like Lars says SOB at Southwick last year. Those are the things that make what did somebody said? I wrote like shit at some point.
Probably Coop.
Yeah,
probably Coop.
Coops.
I won't name who. Someone in our heads that did say later on in the evening, "This is so good." Because the TV people are always trying to come up with analogies. You know that they love that JT, right? Like tell people that haven't ridden motorcycles, give them something else in life they have experienced and equate it to what it's like. And one of our guys is like, 25 years I've been doing this, and finally someone gave me an analogy so I can understand what our plan is like.
That's good so point. Good. It's a great point. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You know what's funny,
okay,
though?
Okay.
Maybe not.
Never mind.
Okay.
I'm going to stay away from it. Never mind.
You guys want to talk about McGrath some more? I'm here for it.
Yeah, let's circle back.
Circle back, dude. Fuck, he's so good. Yeah.
Steve was like Cooper Webb's arms when he was talking e-bikes with McGrath.
Greatest champion we've ever had. I'll fight someone. We can have a debate on this. I'll talk all about it. So, okay. 250 class, Levi Kitchen. Led every lap, 20 seconds, won the heat, fastest in qualifying, hometown race. It just doesn't get any better. And Levi did say that it was on his mind that he had not won a quote-unquote normal race. He'd only won Triple Crowns, two previous races. This was his first normal race or whatever, and that was on his mind a little bit. And I don't know, man. I don't want to say I didn't call this, but I went to that to Florida that week, and it was an off week for him. I was so impressed with his work ethic in two motos trying to chase Shane McElrath, and then one moto trying to pull away from Shane McElrath, and doing it both times successfully. And just the ability, he can put the bike wherever he wants to. He was eating tons of dirt. His determination was there. I don't know, man. He took it to a new level this weekend. And, you know, he stretched out his points lead with Jordan having that night. And, JT, like, this was a real – I don't know. Maybe not to you, but to me, this really showed me something.
Yeah, I think it was a statement win, right? And he's going to have to continue to do that. You know, nothing has been won or lost. It's only, what, 7 points? 8 points? 8.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's not a lot there to separate. But I think as far as the narrative and the story of Levi Kitchen, this was a pretty notable chapter where it felt like he kind of turned a corner.
I mean, Ouija told me it was kind of easy. And that's not in a negative way, but it looked like it.
Yeah, this has been my thing on 250 West all year. Like, no doubt, Hampshire was better than all these guys last year. He was better probably in Supercross than anyone. I don't know about Hunter, but definitely anyone except Jet. Like, maybe he and Hunter are 1A, 1B behind Jet, so uh-huh. They're out. But my thing was, I'm like, that was last year. Like, there's a chance that a guy like Kitchen is going to get significantly better.
Yeah.
Because this is only his second full year. He barely raced the first year, I think, when he hurt his kneecap or something. So I'm like, it's just, what Levi Kitchen are you going to get? And then I was wondering after the break, I'm like, what if 5 more weeks gives them 5 more percent? So I guess my question now is, was this just Seattle home track thing?
Well,
or is this where he is now?
We'll know on Saturday, I guess. I think this is where he is now. That's where I'm at.
Wow. I mean, RJ just, you don't get guys much more straight up.
No.
Than RJ.
Yeah.
Just saying, like, I had nothing.
I got nothing. Nothing. Yep. Yeah. No, I got nothing. And props to RJ for doing that too. Like, yeah. I mean, you know how these guys are. You know, he could have said
I was really interested to see if RJ would go back after the heat and say, man, I gotta take more risk. Like, I gotta go. But I don't think he had it. He just didn't have it.
Yep. Nah, he was fortunate.
We don't need RJ to be taking more risks. We don't need that.
Well, okay. He loves to do it. Like, you don't have to twist his arm to really go for it.
RJ second. Joe Shimoda third. Joe won the heat. He didn't win the heat?
I crashed the last lap.
Oh, that's right. Shit, that's right. I was debating in the press box with the fellow journalists up there. If Joe wins, is the Shimoda realist even more right? Or is it too early for that? Because it's got to be near the end of the series, like more towards the end. Like the big break, he's way back in the points, and Shimoda comes out and wins Seattle, right?
No, I think...
Oh, I thought it was perfect.
I think the realist has already kind of proven it's Joe is doing what Joe does. Start really slow, have mistakes, lose a bunch of points, and then kind of get it together.
So they really worked on starts on the break with Honda. They're happy with his riding everywhere else. And you can see that he's passed a bunch of dudes all year until, you know, coming into this race. And they just worked on starts. But, yeah, it didn't really work. It didn't work in the main. Anyways, worked in the heat, didn't work in the main. And Lars was also saying he got the fake start, and I didn't want to jump in there. But sure, yeah, count fake starts. Good job, Lars. So.
The fake start.
Sorry, are you asking me?
No, I just I can't take the fake start seriously that my guy pulls it. I'm not like, yeah.
Nobody should be taking the fake start seriously.
Go tell Lars that, because he did. So third for Joe. He got a podium at the last race, right? At Glendale?
He's got two podiums.
Yeah, so the second one, right. Marchbanks was up there. Man, Marchbanks, terrible start, heat and main. Great riding from there. They need to take the other guy on the team that gets the starts and can't really ride and then mix them with Garrett, and you'd have a perfect rider right there. You know, Marchbanks is actually like, and I was looking at the points after the race, like, he's not going to win the title, but, you know, he's
19 down going in.
Yeah, he's five back of Jordan, right, for third. He's ahead of factory riders. Yeah, like, good job, Marchbanks. Good ride.
He even mentioned in Aaron Hansel from RacerX, who was also in the press box, he said in his interview to him, he's like, it's a contract year. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, this is not like a new thing. He's never started well. And he's 170 pounds. I mean, not, you know, other guys got starts at 170 pounds, including Adam, who was standing there talking to me and Garrett when we were all there. Adam's like, I was pulling starts. But then I'm like, well, you're on a factory bike, Adam. So I don't know. But, like, I don't think – I just – he should just move up. We saw him at SMX. He's great. He should move up. But it's my opinion.
I don't know. It's the same old thing. It's right. The same old thing. Like, you know, in sports, the worst thing you could be is like a team that's 500 and you don't get the draft picks, but you're also not battling for the title.
Yeah, you're in the mushy middle, right?
That is the mushy middle. Is that actually a term?
Yeah, it is.
That's the fear in Supercross. Shane McElrath is in the mushy middle right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not terrible, but he's 10, 11, 12 guy. And unfortunately, we've said this a million times, there's not a lot of value in this sport for that, which sucks. So the value, of course, is you could podium in the 250s, and that is the never-ending riddle conundrum.
Mumford fifth. Good job for Mumphy. Look, Glendale was not good for him. And this was really good. Fifth place. Good job.
Yeah, he came forward, too. Like,
he really did.
I got fifth. Yep. Yeah.
Michael Mosman. Fastest qualifier, JT.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely the track,
yeah,
right?
Right.
It's hard to not say that. But, yeah, why not? Cool. Either way, it's still cool.
He looked really tired, which is to be expected, and Thrasher got by him, and Jordan was obviously ahead of him, and he was kind of moving backwards, and then he got a little help with Jordan crashing, and then I don't know what happened to Thrasher. And then, yeah, so he got that sixth. Good job for Mosman.
That's pretty good. Pretty good return.
Bomer went backwards as well. I was talking to Millsaps. I was on the flight with Davey Millsaps, his coach, this morning. And, he just said that, you know, he doesn't ride these conditions. He's a West Coast kid. So San Francisco, San Diego, this thing, he's not great in it. So, you know, kind of struggling a little bit. Which is
kind of sick.
Yeah, sounds normal. Yeah. Bordon, eighth. Thrasher, anyone? Anybody hear? That was not good.
I know he dropped.
I think he just went backwards. Yeah.
He moved up and then went
backwards.
Yeah,
he was trying to catch RJ.
Yep.
And Weege even mentioned it. Like, he was closing on RJ for a minute, and then it just was kind of a steady march backwards. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, not great. Thompson, 10th. Phil Nicoletti, 11th. Said it was the worst race of his career, and he thought about ghost
riding. I saw that. There's no way. He's had way worse races.
I would feel like he did.
I mean, you could scroll through Steve's homages to Phil over the years of being upside down and flipped backwards. There's a lot worse races.
Yeah, he said he was going to ghost ride his bike and walk off. that's what he was going to do. So I can't wait for the Pulp Show tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have him on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good, bad. We always have Phil on. So, he got good starts. I think that's about where it ended for him.
I didn't see him a lot out there, actually. I even had at one point in the final practice, I'm like, I better look around and just look at Phil real quick. I don't know. I didn't see him look so darn horrible, but worst race of his career.
Well, in the heat, he wasn't jumping the jumps, and he was getting smoked by. So that was probably the start of the downfall right there. He was doubling the rhythm out of the first turn.
I feel like he's been told to jump the jumps.
Ryder D, Wageman 12th. Ryder D was 8th. I think that was another guy that was ahead of Mosman and then went down like on the last lap. Ryder D, I think, was 7th.
I think he got penalized too.
He did?
I thought I read that in a text somewhere.
For cutting the track or something?
Pretty sure he got penalized.
Jordan Smith looked like he caught his chin on his handlebars and then didn't know whether he was in Seattle or Tacoma, or that was kind of gnarly.
Yeah, and there was a crash, JT, that you saw that we didn't see on TV. There was yet another crash. There were four.
He was on the finish line. He was like high centered on the finish line jump, crashed. Yep. I don't know how he got there. I don't know how it happened. I saw his post about not being concussed, but...
He said that? He said that?
Yep. It certainly looked like he was unsure of things to me. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
I don't have an official opinion, but before I read that, I was pretty sure.
How about, though, he gets... Okay, yeah, he looks like he's done. The next thing you know, he's circulating the track. And then he actually just pulled away from Kitchen for like two rhythms. And then
crashed again. Right, yeah.
Like, what is going on?
Yeah, it was a lot for Jordan. And, you know, he's had a good season, and the crashes have hurt him in his career, and it caught up to him this night. Now he went from one back to 21 down. So, tough break. For Jordan, Talon Hawkins had a blue KTM, was out there, and Lux Turner did too. Hunter Yoder, TJ Albright made the main again. Matty Jorgensen, LCQ guy, Varese, Sanford, Walt.
Uber guy,
yeah. Jumped in an Uber with Justin Brayton. That was a good story.
Mm-hmm. So great for him.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's kind of ballsy to just walk up to a guy and be like, "Hey, can I share an Uber with you?" But JB being classy, JB, no problem. So,
73 wins combined with him and McGrath.
Yeah. And what's funny is we all knew JB was going to get the Daytona one. I mean, everybody knew before he hung it up it would be Daytona.
Oh, yeah. It was like Hannah and Unadilla. Yeah. It was like just perfect together.
Yep. Okay. That's 250 class. Anything else on 250s? You guys want to talk about McGrath more? Kitchen.
Oh, Kitchen not knowing that. Oh, yeah. You're going to bring that up?
Yeah, Kitchen said he had plans to go to the beach next week and didn't realize St. Louis was a west round, and as of Saturday night did not have a plane ticket for St. Louis. So, yeah. Kitch, everybody.
I loved it.
How does our sport work sometimes? We got guys in tuxedos, and we got guys not knowing they're racing the next weekend. Sometimes our sport,
one day at a time.
Yeah, someday our sport is awesome for things like this, and other times you're just like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
I look at my calendar when I get up in the morning, and I get up really early. They're like, okay, what's on the agenda today? I wonder if he looks at it and is like, oh, St. Louis today. Okay, cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I didn't know it was a Triple Crown until like 2 days ago. Did you guys know that?
Well, you're not racing. So I guess. A little bit less relevant.
Yeah, but still. Did you guys know it was Triple Crown?
Yes, we did. Okay. But we have meetings and all kinds of things that you don't have to deal with. So it's a little unfair.
Sorry.
On that. No, I mean it. We're getting fed this information, right, whether we want to be or not.
What's the schedule for next weekend, though? Are we doing that? Are we early?
It's a night race.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I think we start at 6, so it's kind of a halfer.
Sure. All right. Well, who do you like for this title, Weej?
Picking Jet Lawrence. He's pretty good.
Oh, you're switching off your preseason pick.
Yeah, I had picked Tomac.
Okay.
Which I knew was the most popular, least offensive pick, but I don't know. Not looking good at the moment.
Okay. My preseason was Sexton, and in the spirit of Weej, I will stay with that.
Okay.
23 down. We're 23 down. We're riding during the week. We got KYB internals. It's all turning around.
I'm with you.
Okay. JT, title pick?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I will stay with the points leader who I've had since the jump.
Okay. And that would be Jet? Okay.
I can't believe you didn't get heat for that, JT.
What?
No, I just figured there'd be a mob of riders saying, like, this dude's not even raced one of these and you think he's going to beat us?
I'm just going off of what I like to pick the best rider.
Oh, even more offensive. My gosh.
That's okay. I stand by it. Like I don't think there's a lot of debate about who the best rider is right now.
We just got to watch that sand wall. Superimposed Jet and then everyone else who tried it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's going to win the title. I've seen series where the best rider doesn't win the title. I'm just saying I like to pick the best rider.
My whole theory was Jet is going to be the fastest guy and he's going to win the most races, but he will make mistakes and Sexton will be the consistent guy. The flip-flop of last year. That's really what I thought was going to happen. And yeah, I thought Sexton would win the title by being consistent and steady. And Jet was going to be the new Chase Sexton and lose the front and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that ain't working out too well either.
I will say this. Sexton's not, like, I don't know if this is on purpose or whatever, but he's not crashing.
Nope.
Nope. Yeah. Not going as fast as he was.
Now, did I?
Not crashing.
Right.
I heard a low undercurrent that Ricky, maybe on the podcast with RV, was saying, like, you knew the bike wasn't that good. Why'd you pick it? Did you just pick it for the money? Did you guys hear about this?
It was not a low undercurrent.
He did not mention money. He did not mention money.
Oh, he did not? Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. It was not a low undercurrent. It was as blatant could be.
Was it on his pod or where was it? Was it on his pod or where was it?
Look at it. RV. He posted on his Instagram, the whole clip of it, on Ricky's Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. He's like, I know a source very close to Start Racing. I literally saw Chase in Tallahassee. I know he tested the bike. He loved the bike. Someone close to the team said he's signing with Star for sure. And he's like, why did he change his mind?
Okay. Yep. Oh, look at Ricky. Shots fired.
I don't think Ricky's he's not backing away. When you post it on your own Instagram, you are, in a sense, you're doubling down.
Okay, yeah.
I just want to bring up the money thing, because just people always bring up the money thing. I don't think people know how this works. We talk about it a lot, but I guess not enough. The money is meaningless salary-wise. You make it up on bonuses. It's when it's $1 million for a title.
Easy on meaningless.
Yeah, meaningless? Meaningless?
I don't think the difference between the offer between you're going to be the top guy on two factory teams is not something you'll make up with by winning three or four more races.
No, it can be. I mean, I think Eli probably took a $500,000 to $600,000 pay cut when he left Cali. I mean, I understand your point. But to say that much money is meaningless is
it's meaningless because the difference between the good bike and the bad bike
but you're
can
guessing
easily
is
be $500,000.
But sure, you're guessing is how results will be. It's not a guarantee that, like, you know what? If I take this other deal, I'm winning. Like, I don't – that's a hard guarantee to assume. But I think
– I feel like the bonuses make it very hard to select the not as good bike.
Yes, I agree. And I also think it's a situational thing where Eli's financial situation is probably secure. So that $500K is not going to make or break his future. For some people, that's a lot of, like, that's life changing money for some people. Like, they're going to take whatever, you know. Like, look at some of these guys that, you know, I've seen lots of guys sign for money, right? It doesn't mean it's the right decision. Usually it's not.
Damon Huffman left Moto Triple X for ECC for money.
Yep. Oh, wow.
It happens.
Wow. I
just think people are used to stick and ball sports where your salary is your salary. You can double your salary with a good season. So to pick the bike that isn't as good is a known risk that you're taking right there that you could leave serious money on the table. And I think the riders think about that more than fans probably realize, because it's not just my salary is what it is. Well, I mean, you can supplement that massively.
Honda guys are like, he was welcome to stay here for a lot of money. Honda.
Yeah.
You know, he just didn't want to be there, but yeah. So anyways, I kind of heard Ricky was shots fired at Chase a little bit.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
So.
Yep.
Okay. And then, I had to talk to RV. He told me how their show is the best show in the sport. And then I had to get away from that quickly. So,
go talk to McGrath.
Yeah, exactly. I found a real champion, not a fake one like RV.
Oh, wow.
Shots fired.
Shots fired.
Okay.
All right, boys.
All right. Sounds good. Fly Racing, Racer X podcast, Maxxis Tires, motorsport.com, Renthal as well. Onyx Maps, which we never did the read. So that's our bad. Onyx Maps, everybody.
Yeah, the code is RacerX, all lowercase, all one word. Save 20%. Check it out.
All right. Our bad on that. Sorry, Onyx, but we threw it in there. Okay.
We talked to McGrath so much, we just blew through that.
Yep. All right. JT, Weech, thanks, boys.
Bye.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.